Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Challenge Battle EX's 2 wrap-up show for Episode 7. I am Brian Cohen. Here with me is my co-host, Allie Lesher. Allie, how are you doing today?
I am in an interesting spot today, Brian. First of all, I want to apologize as this is coming to everyone late. We are recording this on a Saturday night because Brian has volunteered to give up his life tonight to help out my schedule. I'm podcasting from an unusual place, and let's just say, Brian, if we ever had to do a podcasting version of the Newlywed Game and it said, where's the strangest place you've ever recorded, we'd have a really interesting answer. But the show must go on. So anyone listening to this late in the game, I thank you for bearing with us. But I want to give a quick disclaimer that there may or may not be some people packing up a blood drive next to me right now. So there may be some table smashing, and I'm going to try my best to mute it, but I apologize for the poor tech quality in advance. I can hear people shouting right now, so I'm sorry if my microphone is picking that up.
Then being loved, make sure everyone knows it's not Zach yelling at John A. It's other people that may be yelling in the background, so don't worry about that.
This is actually a large room, so I can't confirm or deny that it's not Zach yelling. I can't see, so I don't want to lie to you. I want to keep it real, everyone. He may or may not be sitting here with me. I may or may not be in Zach's blood drive.
I feel like Zach's saying stupid things in spirit basically everywhere, so he's probably right there with you.
All right, so let's get into this. I mean, the aftermath of this to be continued really bothered me because I had to then waste time rewatching some of the stuff we already watched last week. Did that frustrate you as much as it did me, or am I just grumpy?
It was a little frustrating because basically we didn't get anything new until like 5 or 6 minutes into the episode, because we knew Avery and Johnny were going to win. It was just a waste of time to see them actually then win and then congratulate and see Brittany crying. It was just like, why couldn't they just throw in this on the end of last week? That's why it just goes to show that to be continued was so useless.
Yeah, I think I was hoping for a better payoff, but Adam missing the jump was like 3 seconds and hilarious, but not long enough to warrant the to be continued. We got a question that I don't think I have with me, but I think Vincent asked it. I'll get back to you on that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he asked, like, did this to be continued happen because of the pacing of the rest of the episode, that the final was so long and the mission was so short, the challenge? That, like, did they need it just to keep up the pacing of the episode? Like, they didn't go out at the bar. Like, maybe literally nothing else happened.
It's possible. And it was Vincent Cloud. I saw that. I see the question.
I was going to say Vincent Cloud. Just, I don't know, in the, like, confines of my mind. But I didn't want to, like, go for the last name. Damn it. That would have been awesome. Okay, sorry.
It would have been a nice fall. Yeah, I don't know. Because they didn't show them at the bar. So maybe the bar was closed that night and they couldn't go out. I don't know. It was weird that they didn't show it at all.
The one bar in Panama.
I mean, there's only one option. It seems like there's no backups.
Now, I want to know, is Johnny Riley auditioning? We got a question. Who's Riley? We are not consistent. And by we, I mean, I'm not consistent with people's names. I don't even call people by the right name. Mm-hmm. But Johnny or Riley is Johnny Riley from Portland. Johnny Portland is also Johnny and Riley.
And he has now a new name for all those who listened to the interview I did with Johnny earlier in the week. He could be now Johnny Avocado. If you want to start calling him that too. So if you want to hear that, the reason behind that, listen to my interview with Johnny that I did earlier this week.
It's delicious. Yes. I love avocado. Sold. Okay. So my question is Johnny Avocado auditioning to replace TJ? Because after Adam loses, he's like, hey, keep your head up, keep your head up. And then TJ comes in and says, like, keep your head held high.
I know. I was waiting. It was nice to see Johnny kind of give a little comment. If Johnny dropped, like, you guys killed it, then it would have been kind of weird. But yeah, I mean, John is a stand-up guy. Good job
TJ,
by him.
TJ ripped off Riley. I think if TJ ever gets a CBS talk show, the TJ Lavin show, mm-hmm. then I think Johnny Riley's a shoo-in.
What was interesting, though, is when TJ said his goodbyes to Adam and Brittany. Normally, I think when he says goodbyes to people, he'll say, we hope to see you again in the future. He didn't say that to them, which I found a little interesting, being that they're from Ari the One. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Ooh. I mean, we'll get to this later because someone asked about Avery coming back, but I don't know. Like, I think they need some people from Are the He the One. They need some, like, slutty singles to mix it up a little bit here.
I mean, we've been on the Begging for a Fresh Meat 3 next season, so I think that's true. Hopefully that's where that goes.
Okay, so now Sarah and Jordan begin to unravel, which I thought I was making fun of the previously on because they like are like, Jordan and Sarah's partnership went downhill. And I was like, was it really that bad? But I mean, this whole episode, Jordan is like at the place with Sarah where if you don't like someone, it doesn't matter what they say, you just flip out.
So did we really not see what went down, or is Sarah just really still upset about the way Jordan behaved in that challenge? There has to be something more.
I think it seems more like Jordan's upset. Like, Jordan is treating her poorly, and so she's annoyed by that, I think. Like, Jordan is not willing to talk and communicate with her and is kind of shutting down and frustrated, I think.
This whole unraveling just feels so just popping up out of nowhere. There's no real sparking incident. It just seems something that we're missing, like, the big starting point from.
No, I agree. It definitely doesn't make any sense. I mean, if we're okay, so based on what we saw, we're expected to believe that it went from like Sarah didn't perform well enough in the challenge, Jordan is like frustrated with her performance, and in Sarah's mind being too cruel about it, and that's like the pop off point. I don't know. It seems like two people in a really good situation complaining about it.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen, like, they say they all, Jordan, like, never has anything nice to say. But we saw them earlier in the season kind of getting along, saying, oh, they're super so good. We're going to do so well together. It just seems so weird that now all of a sudden they hate each other this much.
Well, at first, Sarah says that Jordan has the biggest inferiority complex I've ever seen, which is, we've heard a lot of people complain that about Jordan, which Naya, I guess, started on the Real World Portland. Right. And at first, I kind of was like, maybe Sarah's overreacting. And then we get to the secret conversation, the meeting of the boneheaded macho pig dudes.
Probably one of the most uncomfortable conversations I've seen on the challenge in many, many years.
Yeah, I tweeted that it was the most disgusting scene. One of the most disgusting scenes, because I guess like a man slapping a woman in the face is pretty bad. But it was one of the most disgusting scenes in MTV history. And I would rather watch Naya drink sweat again.
Yeah, probably. They're both really low.
All right, so we get a camera view, right, where they clearly, it's like Big Brother style, where it's just a camera that's in the corner of the room without the cameramen there. Mm-hmm. And do you think they were thinking that they were on, I mean, they know that there's cameras everywhere, but were they thinking about this?
They have to know there's cameras on them 24/7. The most bizarre part of, I mean, there's a lot of bizarre comments everyone said in there, but the weirdest one was Zach saying he'll go on record saying
yes,
it.
Yes,
yes. When you're on a TV show.
I think that was a product of forgetting that if the cameramen aren't there, like forgetting you're on TV or thinking they're not going to use this, they don't usually use this or something right. like that. And yeah, we had this like stealth view. So I can understand like we couldn't watch the whole show in this like aerial view. Mm-hmm. But if this kind of conversation is going on, which is the only interesting thing to happen. Okay, so we'll set it up. Obviously, like Zach, Johnny Riley and Jordan are having a conversation. But who was asleep in the bunk bed?
Well, I didn't see someone asleep.
Someone is asleep in the bunk bed between Jordan and Johnny. Ooh, Riley.
I didn't catch that.
And is just not participating. It's either like Wes or Leroy or Jay. Like someone's like foot is there hanging out, the bottom of their foot. So who's asleep in that bed? Someone get back to me.
Someone do some digging. I don't know. It's a good question.
If you can identify someone by the bottom of their foot, good job.
We'll give you a lot of kudos.
All right, so you want to set this up? I wrote. Do you have the conversation?
I didn't write down the entire conversation. I just wrote down some of the highlights. But
okay.
Do you have some of the exact quotes?
I slowed down and watched this in like 100 parts to write down everything they said. And then I watched it once back, just full on watched it to just experience it. So the setup is they have ominous music playing that basically is like, we don't support the comments right. of these gentlemen. And Jordan is like complaining about Sarah, like just complaining about their relationship. And right. Like that. I didn't write down Jordan's
pitching. That's the way it started. That's the way it started.
So Zach starts saying women were created, and Johnny Riley says to bear children. I know Zach has been. Did you catch that?
That's what I caught, but it keeps. I've watched it once or twice. Every time I see it, it seems like Zach's mouth is still moving at the time. But
yeah, he interrupts him to say to bear children. Like Zach is like, and Johnny says to bear children, and then mm-hmm. Zach goes back because he was going to say from Adam, which is he ends up saying. But Johnny Riley is being let off the hook and all this backlash. And he's the one who says to bear children.
Right.
So sorry. Zach says women were created. Johnny interrupts him to say to bear children. And Zach says from men, God took a rib from Adam. They're made to be. And Jordan then says inferior. And then Zach starts saying these are not our wives. They're fucking swamp donkeys. All of them. if she was smarter than you, she would learn how to deal with you because you're the better athlete. That's why we're the better species. I'll go on record saying this. I wrote parentheses, you are.
It's just a cavalcade of just unbelievably horrible and horrible comments. I mean, I don't know what else to say. They're all, it's atrocious conversation.
So, Voice of the People of the Week, I didn't write down who it was, tweeted at me asking for a rant. So they're now the Voice of the People. Let me pull it up because it's worth noting in my mind this person's name. The internet is not being my friend. Too many bachelor favorite tweets. Okay. Mariam Meshri demanded for a 20-minute rant. And here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to disappoint you because there was no humor in this. There was no, like, you know, just like almost like harmless, like douchebaggery. Like, this was an absolute vile, full out meant, like, disgusting conversation between three dudes who should never be dating anyone at this point in their lives. And unfortunately, there are still women who will watch this episode and still want to be groupies to these people. But all three of them are absolutely disgusting. And if anyone were to say, like, oh, like, it was Zach, everyone in that room, like, the only necessary thing for the triumph of evil, right, is for good people to do nothing. Mm-hmm. And for Johnny Portland, who's getting off the hook, who, like, tried to, like, make a macho comment and say to bear children, but then didn't say anything else. Like, if you didn't disagree, then you agree. And you're all disgusting. But I was really, like, kind of paralyzed by this because usually there's, like, some humor in it or Leighton's just being a jackass and then you can rant and yell about it. Like, this was, like, became a social issue. Like, this transcended what we can cover in the podcast.
I agree. I mean, it's horrible. There's no defending it at all.
So let's just... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I was going to say we jump to the reaction, but I want your reaction and not to step over you.
My reaction is that there's no defending it, and I hope somehow that is not their real beliefs and they're just trying to be just show off in front of each other. I hope that's really what's going on, and maybe there's something else to it, but if that's really how they feel, then that's horrible.
I mean, I think maybe you can say, like, cooped up in the house, like, dependent on women that you don't get along with, that you have issues with, like, can make you say nasty things and maybe seeing yourself say it, like, whatever. But, I mean, to say that is disgusting. Perez Hilton picked this up and put Behold the Unbelievable Sexism That Abounds on MTV The Challenge. Like, this is getting picked up by outside sources, not just no press.
Actual press. Perez Hilton press.
And I'm trying to look. I screen capped what Jordan basically posted an Instagram that was like a text from a female friend, like as though that validates you, that like having a female friend that excuses this. Mm-hmm. So Jordan wrote, so I don't watch the show, which while I'm on the rant that I said I wasn't going to give, we all knew that was bullshit. While I'm on this rant, the people who tweet like, oh, I don't watch the show, but I don't watch it. Oh, I don't watch the show. Like, support the freaking show that's paying your checks. Are you kidding me? Even if you don't watch, you know what happened. Just, you don't need to preface everything with, I'm too good to watch the show that I'm on.
Right.
I hate that shit.
That's fair.
So Jordan, so I don't really watch the show, and a lot of friends that do watch will text/call me and ask about something funny or conspiracies about the challenge. Leah has been a friend of mine since elementary school. One woman has tolerated me my whole life and one of the baddest chicks I know, and she just gets it. A lot of y'all fans or haters take everything said so to heart. Gotta shake some shit off. And she wrote, la la la, watching last night's ep. And he said, dude, what happened? Did I hate on chicks? And she said, women are inferior at the end. I'm dying. Cat crying, emoticons laughing. And he said, oh my lord, people need to chill. Don't act like you don't know what happened. Like, you've probably been dreading the airing of this episode because most people on reality TV know what embarrassing episodes are going to come up and they live in fear of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's nothing I can say to defend any of those comments. There's not.
All right. So I'm going to jump right to Twitter then and let the ladies of the challenge deal with it. And then we'll press swiftly on.
Let's do it.
So Leah Knight asked, did you catch Sarah's tweet where she laid into Zach? And Laurel's reply, it was good to see some backbones this week, even if it's mostly on Twitter or bitching to the other girls. So Naya tweeted, this is all out of order because YOLO, Naya tweeted like a ton of emojis and said, if this is true, me and every girl in the challenge house needs to go on a manhunt for Zach right now. And then posted the Urban Dictionary definition of swamp donkey. And Urban Dictionary's definition is a very ugly, unusually fat girl who hangs around in bars and clubs waiting to sexually assault males who are too drunk to defend themselves.
Jeez, that's pretty rough.
So, Zach is a disgusting piece of shit. Sorry. Okay. So Sarah Rice, that was inappropriate to say. So Sarah Rice responded, I'm so sorry to any young or innocent ears who just heard me say that. POS. POS. Okay. Sarah Rice said, no shit. And the people wonder why I feel the need to push for feminism. And then her whole Twitter has been like people supporting her or calling her out and talking about feminism. So you can check that out if you want.
Yeah, absolutely. And
Sarah's reaction was, women were made for more than just childbearing, STFU, Zach. That's a paraphrase, but that's basically what it was. And Laurel said that no confident man would feel the need to put a woman down. And then Laurel also tweeted, bottom line, read Zach's comments. His belief system is antiquated. He clearly put his foot in his mouth and forgot his performance last season. Oh, a ton of people were tweeting at her.
Yes,
and him, like, did you forget that a woman kicked your ass? And then she said, women are very strong and smart and capable. Sorry, one absurd guy does not see that. I would never want a man in my life like that. The end. And I guess Zach just proves that he's a complete caveman, which fits the look inside and out.
They killed him.
I said the caveman part, but yes, they killed him.
Yeah, because it's a shame though that someone like Laurel, who's not even on the season, is the one coming out. Like, I wish, you know, at least good job by Naya, good job by Sarah. But, you know, where's some of the other people from this season saying stuff? It's kind of a shame that someone not even, like Laurel has to come out. Like, maybe where's like Teresa coming out saying something, or Nani, or even John A. Like, where are they?
Where's to come Jenna?
Out? Or Jenna?
Had
Jenna.
I like publicly been involved with someone like Zach, I absolutely would have said something. I wasn't even publicly involved in it with him. But no, I mean, I think it's pretty piggish. I think we got some questions on how we think he's going to deal with it at the reunion. But we'll get to the questions later. I'm just like nauseated by the whole thing. You know what? Because this was the only like interesting thing to happen this season, not a part of the game. And that's frustrating to me because normally there's fun. There's weird theme parties. There's hooking up. There's like bitch slaps, like, right. You know, and for this to be like the entertainment portion of the show is like pretty disgusting and sad.
And even though this is probably the top of it, it's probably, this has been kind of a theme the entire season. Like, most of the non-strategy storylines has been us discussing either Zach or someone else's horrible treatment to their female partner. And it sucks that that's like the overwhelming theme of this season.
Yeah. And the hope, I mean, people were asking, I may be repeating questions, I'll credit you later. People were asking like, you know, does this convince you now that it's not just jokes? And I think that Zach, and you can see it later when he makes things, makes very calculated comments to the camera that are funny-ish in his mind and get him off able to express these viewpoints with a laugh. And this was like him in raw form. And yeah. I think it's clear that he was not thinking he was on camera when he was saying this, because he said, and I'll go on record about it. But one thing Molly Block pointed out, that she couldn't take him seriously with his neon orange pants on, his leggings, men-gings.
That's Zach's, like, he's such a weird, just a weird guy, because he says these weird things and then he's like macho, but then he tries to be, then he wears like those types of things. Zach's just like a very bizarre person.
He's a caveman, and if Geico is looking to cast another commercial, he won't need any makeup or any costume.
There you go. Send out his resume.
Okay, so we have a ton of questions. So, Kristen Narr. So I hear that women are the inferior species. I totally agree. We have proof. Remember when Laura was screaming at Zach when he was whining on the ground about not being able to get up the mountain? Oh, wait. I just thought that was nicely said.
Yep.
For any new watchers, viewers of the challenge, Zach sucks and Laurel is more athletic and better than him. Okay. Alex, that's, I think, the first like real sincere laugh I've ever caught you in.
I laugh definitely sincerely throughout this podcast.
No, I'm joking. Okay. Alex Pandemar.
That was very funny.
What is the reason for showing Zach's extremely offensive comments? Is it a sense of foreshadowing when he says men are better athletes, that him and John A will make finals and he will once again bomb a final and John A will do better than him, or that he will be the reason they lose a dome?
I don't know. I don't think it's foreshadowing. I just think this is what the storyline is for this season, that Zach and even some of the other people are just being real jerks. And this is what all they had to show.
I agree. I would love for the people who are thinking this is foreshadowing to be dead on. I'd love to watch Jonna upset Zach in any situation, be worth having them make the final, which I really don't want. But I think it's just because it's all that's going on that's interesting.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, Andrew Styles. Is what Zach said, in addition to his actions towards women, both in this and past challenges, enough that he should not be cast again? And do you think he will be cast again?
He'll definitely be casted again. I don't think anything anyone can ever do, really, at least anyone says do anything, it will get them not to be casted again. So I fully expect him back next year.
Yeah, I don't think that this is going to get him. I don't want to see that. I think that they'll manipulate anything to get someone back who caused like a scene. But yeah, I mean, if they were going to not cast every man who's ever acted like a macho gorilla pig, then no one would be on the show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like the challenge is not that influential that all of a sudden there's going to be petitions to like keep Zach off the challenge. It's just not like people. I don't think people will go to that extreme to get it. You know, the show is not like on ABC where it's being seen by so many people and people are going to be outraged by it. Like it's just that's just not the way it's going to happen.
And it's just not fun anymore, though. That's why I'm said like it's like, do you want to see him back versus will he be back? Like he'll definitely be back if he wants to be back. But he's not fun anymore. Like his like jokes about women, his like, you know, his confessionals, like they're not funny anymore. So I'm kind of over him. If this is all we're going to get from him, which it seems to be all we're going to get from him.
Yeah. Even some of his comments that could be funny, they're just all now just tainted by that. This is, even though they're a little funny, that's all layered by some truth that he's thinking. So it just ruins it all.
That's a very good point. No, I totally agree. So, like, I would love to not see him back again, but we'll definitely be seeing him back again.
I think I agree.
Yeah, so that's all the questions I have for now on that one. So, I think that brings us to the challenge.
To the trivia challenge, yes, and it was called Are You the One? Interesting, they do this right after all the Are You the One people are gone, but it's a nice little thing. But yeah, trivia challenge of the week.
I love TJ's sticker. Like, I figured you guys would like that.
I just love how happy TJ is when he's describing the game. He's got such a big smile on his face. Brought me joy.
So not only is TJ freaking out, but Sarah is freaking out. She cheers when he says it's a trivia contest. When they're doing their, like, interview, she's, like, twitching about it. So excited. And Jordan doesn't like that.
No, Jordan wants, which this is, to be fair, I do kind of see where Jordan's coming from. It's that he wants to keep Sarah level-headed, doesn't want to get her cocky. Just, I don't think he came across that well.
I completely agreed with Jordan in this situation because, like, you don't want to be cocky. You don't want to draw attention to yourself as a threat if there's any, like, thinking, like, what if there's trivia in the final? What if there's a puzzle in the final? We can't have them. Look at how excited she is. But where Jordan lost my support is how cocky he was during the challenge.
That's Jordan. That's what he always does.
Anytime, but what I'm saying is he's such a hypocrite.
Right. No, that's fair. Yeah, he and like I think it was first question. I don't really remember the question, but it was like, well, TJ, the answer is I think it was like Romeo and Juliet. Yeah, like he can't just say Romeo and Juliet.
Okay, yeah, so that's why I was just like,
yeah.
I totally agreed with him, but if you're going to be the same way, then just be the cocky couple and deal with it.
Right. No, it's a bit of a hypocrite.
Yeah, totally. So you set this up. What was the deal with this burritos in the air?
Yeah, so normally the way they'll do is they'll have them either on like something like attached to a rope or, you know, kind of like just laying out on like a platform waiting to be launched. But here they're wrapped up in some type of black, like a blanket type thing. I don't know. They're wrapped up as a burrito hanging out over the water. And when they get released, they get like uncurled and they're twirling. I don't think it played off as well as they wanted it to.
Yeah, it was really, really confusing and painful. Like, I thought it was just the wrapping was a little bit too long because they were like unwrapped and just slapped into the water with no ability to position themselves.
Yeah, I don't think in this type of situation, you don't need to overthink it. Just put them on a platform and just have TJ pull a cord and the platform just goes away and they fall straight into the water. You don't need to be doing crazy things with wrapping and twirling and all that stuff. Just keep it simple. You don't need to mess with people flying and falling in the water.
No, I agree. But TJ was loving it.
TJ loves this. Anytime he could pull a handle and send someone flying in the water, TJ is going to laugh about it.
That was the best when it goes to, like, they were doing, like, some, like, fake out before the commercial, and it just goes to TJ, like, putting his hand like an executioner on the lever, like, ready to cut your throat.
I just love when TJ toys with them with, oh, yeah, you know, you're right. No, that's wrong. Boom. TJ, he's really grown into this spot, and I think there was, like, a video on MTV about describing how much he loves trivia, and it's fantastic because he really does enjoy it, and it makes me really enjoy it also.
I almost borderline felt he enjoyed it too much, but then I was like, no, it's great. Logan Messenger wants to know, so I'll set this up first. Jenna misspells adultery. One of her questions is spell adultery, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he says, when she misspells it, Zach cuts to Zach saying, you dated an adulterer for 2 years of your life. And what were your thoughts on Zach's adultery comment towards Jenna in the confessional?
See, that's the thing. This was a comment that I wanted to laugh because it was kind of funny, but it coming from Zach, it just like dampens him. Like, no, Zach, you're a misogynist jackass. Just go away. But if that was someone else, or this was much earlier in the season before Zach said all this stuff, I was probably would laugh because it's a little funny.
Oh, I thought my only reaction was that it was true. Like, that was more of a dig on Jay. Like, she did date an adulterer for 2 years of her life. So that I thought was pretty funny.
What'd
that's like the Zach that I used to like, right?
But yeah, now, I agree. This was the Zach I really liked last season. But now I can't like him anymore. It's tough.
How good was it when Leroy gets asked who is the creator of Facebook and he says Tom and Wes is like, that's MySpace. And then TJ says, everybody say it with me.
Do you think maybe TJ didn't know how to pronounce his last name and that's why he wanted everyone to say it with him? That's a possibility.
I think TJ's been through a lot physically and emotionally.
Okay. I'll say this though. There weren't that many, oh my God, these people are idiot moments.
You could tell when they were like trying to set up the idiot moment and people like Zach gets asked like what country did the French Revolution take place in? And he says France.
Yeah.
Like, they were hoping for bananas. Like, what's the language of Australia?
Right. I would say the biggest moment was just Leroy thinking Africa was a country. That was pretty bad. But I mean, like, not knowing who's on the dime, like, I still don't. I don't really remember.
It was Roosevelt, but only because I watched the episode.
Never would have got that. There were a couple, like, some of the spelling ones were kind of tough. Like, I mean, it's not that easy to spell, like, erogenous or, like, when you're nervous hanging over 30 feet in the air.
The one thing that frustrated me is when, like, Wes spells libido and he's like, I just remember my elementary school teacher say spell it how it sounds. But if you're on a trivia show where they're trying to get you to fall in the water, you don't spell it as it sounds. Like, that's the point. Like,
also,
the logic there is don't spell it as it sounds.
Does libido really sound like it's spelled with EA? I don't think so.
I think he's thinking of the word bead. B-E-A-D. But
bead, I guess. I don't know.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, if I was sounding out libido, I don't think I would have ended on EA. Maybe I would have had an E, but I don't know about an EA.
Are you often asked to sound out libido?
It occasionally happens.
This is where Zach pissed me off, is when he's like, John A gets asked, God, I cannot get with this John A thing. Okay. John A gets asked, like, what's the, also pissed me off, but what's the biggest muscle in the human body? And she says, like, quadriceps, and it's gluteus maximus. And
then they cut to,
yeah, I mean, whatever. Like, I didn't know the answer. I think I'd heard that before once you heard it. But Zach is like, she is a non-existent butt. And it's like, well, you used to like it, you jerk.
Yeah.
So that's the more of, like, Jenna dissing Jay and whatever else. It's like, we get it, but you know what, you used to like it, so you're really only insulting yourself.
You liked it for a while, weren't they together for like almost 2 years? So it's not like it was a one-time thing.
TV all the time. Oh, Jenna or Jen?
Zach to Jenna.
Help me. Help me, everyone. Okay, sorry.
It's okay, hang in there, champ.
Do you think that Zach's question answering warranted TJ, wow, Zach, you're 2 for 2. Wow, you're doing great. Like, TJ stops to encourage Zach after he answers, where was the French Revolution and what country did Fidel Castro take over? Is that going to wow? Really?
I don't know. I think he said TJ did that to a couple other people too. So I don't know. I think TJ just likes having fun with them. I didn't read too much into that.
I just thought he had the two easiest questions that anyone got asked, like in total, like together. Like anyone who doesn't know Fidel Castro is related to Cuba and that the French Revolution happened in France. Like
that's pretty bad.
Those were gimmies.
Jenna's questions are pretty easy, I think.
What do you
I don't really remember all of them, but I think they're all pretty easy.
I thought the Declaration of Independence was could have been a trap where you're like, you know it, but you just like are like, I don't know that.
I loved when she was asked what UN stands for. She jumps to the periodic table and it somehow circles back to United Nations. That, I would have loved to see the thought process going on there.
From the archives of her brain.
Yeah.
So what do you think about it being a team? Like last time I think we saw it where it was girls go, then guys go. And it's individual. This time it was set up right where they each have two strikes between the team.
It's an interesting twist. I think I would have preferred if just you get a question wrong, you drop, and then the other person can just keep going and going. I think I might have preferred it that way. But because this is a team challenge, I didn't have a problem with it being a team total two X's.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely wish that it was individual. I think they waited so long in the season that they could have had time to do it as individuals. I'm surprised they waited this long. I think maybe that's why it wasn't as funny, because there were less people.
Right.
But no, I think I would have been more exciting to just like have like Jenna up there by herself, like like with her neck on the line, right? And Jay had dropped. Like that would have been good TV.
Yeah, but also by having it, if one person gets two wrong and they both drop, then it can create even further animosity towards each other, saying, "Oh, you blew it! I didn't get any questions wrong. You're the one who got them both wrong." So I can see why they did it this way.
Now, is this challenge indicative of the possible final three? Jay, Jenna, Zach, and John A, and Sarah and Jordan?
Honestly, I'm prepared for any final three with any of these remaining teams. So I'm ready to see anything.
If Leroy, Bananas, and Wes, and Naya, and Nani, and Teresa all get knocked out, and this is the final three, I'll tell you where I'm podcasting from.
Challenge accepted.
No, but all right. So talk about the friggin' gallon and cup thing. Did this piss you off too?
Yeah, so John A was asked how many cups are in a gallon. I think she says 8. It's 16. And she drops. And then Zach goes, I even knew it. And I don't even bake.
He starts with, she's so stupid.
Oh, that's so.
And I'm a guy. Yeah, I'm a guy. I don't bake. And it's like, first of all, it's so easy to say you know all the answers when you didn't have to get asked them. One, two, it wasn't a bad guess. Like, you know, 8 ounces in a cup, like half of a gallon is 8. Like she knew it was on the like 4, 8, you know, 16 kind of wavelength. I thought it was a pretty decent guess. And Zach was just being an asshole.
And I feel like Zach definitely does cook a little bit. So to say that, and honestly, you can know that without cooking. You can know that with cooking. So it's just more of Zach's just annoyingness.
Obviously, they don't administer steroids by the gallon. Otherwise, I would trust that he would know it.
Oh, shit.
So then we get Jay playing Howie Mandel in Deal or No Deal.
Yes. Offers Jordan and Sarah, you don't vote for us, we don't vote for you deal. And Jordan closes the lid as the crowd cheers.
How dumb is this on Jordan's part? Obviously, ultimately, it somehow doesn't come back to bite him. But in the moment, how dumb did you think this was?
What's interesting is Jay and Jenna were the one with one strike and Jordan and Sarah didn't have any at the time. So why wouldn't Jordan be like, all right, we could do that deal, but you guys drop and we'll win? Why was that not an option?
That's interesting, because it wasn't like a you take a dive and we'll keep you safe thing. It was, I think that really only works when it's like you're about to give it, like dropping is the end of the challenge, as opposed to like purposely giving up and getting one wrong.
Right.
But I think it was more just like whatever happens at this point, we're all safe. That's interesting that he didn't try to make it all right, then drop and I'll protect you.
Yeah, it's just weird that maybe it did come up and they just said, no, we're still not doing it. We're still just fighting it out. But I mean, Jordan could have just agreed to that and just said, screw it, and still voting you in. So it was interesting that didn't seem to come up
maybe
as an option.
Maybe it was a drop proposition because Jordan's like, we're still going to go as hard as we can. I don't know. I misinterpreted that maybe. But regardless, I thought, fine, if you want to say no deal. I mean, it's stupid because you could always go back on the deal if you're in control and you just protect yourself if you're not. There's really no downside. And Jay and Jenna, if you go back on them, who cares? But not only did he say no deal, but he said no deal. He could have said, like, let's just duke it out and see what happens on the end. He says no because of my alliance with Johnny.
Right.
And because you're going to get thrown in.
Basically, yeah.
He could have said no without giving all of that extra information. He offered no protection for himself, and he put his neck on the line.
Yeah, he easily could have just said, I'm a competitor. I don't give up. I wanted to win everything I'm going to do, so I'm going to try to fight this out. And that would have been very believable for Jordan to say.
The only thing is, if it was an offer of a deal where it's just like, okay, and if you beat me, just keep me safe and I'll keep you safe. He could have just said, like, let's, you know, we're 30 feet in the air. Let's talk about it on the other side. Like, anything except for no, I have an alliance and you're going in would have been better.
Yeah.
He could have said, I don't know what deal means. Can you define that? Like, that would have been better.
It was very weird thought process. But I guess Jordan, you know, it's funny. He was so mad at Sour for being so cocky, but it turns out that he was, in this moment, the cocky one, because that's why he didn't take the deal, because he figured there's no possible way we're losing right now.
Do you blame him, though?
No. Jay and Jenna, I would have never in a million years think that they would win this challenge.
So Sarah misspells diaphragm and goes out, and Andrew Styles wants to know, come clean, did either of you spell check diaphragm at the commercial break?
A little bit. I may have typed it into my phone to see if the red squiggly came up.
I just let it go, but I thought his question was hilarious. Okay, so then we get Jordan's baby beef. He's just like, the question is unfair. Are you kidding me? Like, 1776, you in? Are you kidding me?
Jordan being, it's sour grapes. I mean, you see every year, whenever they do this challenge, whoever wins, whoever finishes second or third, complains that they always got the easier questions, because the questions you don't get asked are the easier ones. Always.
Yeah, and it also is, I mean, there could be conspiracy. Like, they obviously know which questions are going to which people if they want, but, like, they definitely weren't rigging it for Jay and Jenna to win.
No. And honestly, you could try to rig it for Jay and Jenna to win, and they can easily still lose. So I don't think there was any funny business going on.
I think, if anything, Zach got the easiest questions.
Right. I mean, I think John A was the one who got both questions wrong for them, so.
Question. Mm-hmm. Not a question. I just want to say that statement. I loved when Sarah was like, our questions weren't that hard. Like, I love when she defends, like, just tells basically Jordan in front of everyone, like, takes a different stand and is like, no, we didn't get that bad questions. Like, it was fair. Like, she's, like, Jordan's best, like, handler. Like, she's the best antidote to Jordan, but he's, you know, building an immunity to her antidote.
Right. I mean, I think Sarah is clearly seemingly the most liked person in the house. I mean, I don't think anyone was going out of their way to go after Sarah. And it's because of moments like this.
Emily Zitterkopf wants to know, are Jordan and Sarah making their fight obvious to people as a strategy? Do they know that if it looks like they don't get along, there's less chance of them to go to the dome? And are they throwing challenges so they don't have to be power couple until the end, when they can completely control the game and not have a target?
That's, I think, too much overthinking it. I think they're fighting may maybe come across as a little out of nowhere. I think it's probably legit, and I don't see them throwing it, especially this type of moment. They're not going to throw this challenge when they should have been thrown in. So I don't see them throwing challenges.
For the very niche population of people who are also Seinfeld fans, I had written down on my piece of paper, no. And when George asked the waitress in the first episode of Seinfeld, like, does a woman call you and not make a plan, does she have any intention of seeing him? And she says no, and he reveals no. And that's exactly what happened. I wrote no, you said no, and I revealed no. None of that, all of that would be too good of a strategy for what's going on right now.
And honestly, I don't think throwing the challenge would be a good strategy.
Oh yeah, that would be horrible.
So, I mean, creating a fake fight to make you seem like not cohesive would be pretty interesting. But, I mean, we did see that on Are You the One, so maybe they did watch Are You the One season 2.
But I mean, there's no reason for, like, there's no proof that not getting along keeps you from the dome. Brittany and Adam fought all the time in the dome, all the time. Johnny and Avery fought in the dome. So I don't think that the competitors are thinking of it like that.
Agree.
So,
Power couple dinner?
Power couple dinner.
I think they were eating pizza. I couldn't really tell. They didn't really show much of them conversing by themselves. They immediately called over Jordan and Sarah to do, and Sarah tried to do her damage control, and it works. Oh,
I wanted you to point out, tell me you noticed this when Sarah's like, Jay's like, it's weird. You were on this side of the table and we were on the other side. And Sarah's like, it's great to be on this side of the table, isn't it?
And Jenna goes, nope.
No, there's this like strange voiceover, and it's clear that like Jenna wasn't moving her mouth, and she's like, not really.
I saw her say, I just don't think they showed her saying it. So they just showed
like
they
cut to Sarah and it said it in such a weird way. And then they cut back to Jenna and it looks like she didn't say it.
I didn't notice.
I thought it was so weird.
I did notice Sarah eating some of their pizza. Seemed kind of rude.
I rewound to listen to that. Not really. Cause I was like, what the frick was that? See, I'm cleaning up my language.
There you go. Keeping this PJ.
So basically, Jay decides that to use this as leverage. And I thought it was pretty smart because Jay is like able to put his ego aside for the better of the team. But do you think this was for the better of the team?
I've gone back and forth about this because I understand where Jay's coming from, that he doesn't want Jordan and Sarah to be coming after them. But I don't really think they would be coming after them because I don't think Jordan and Sarah want Jay and Jenna to go home. Even if they throw them in this spot and then next week Jordan and Sarah win, I don't think they're going after Jay and Jenna because I think they want Jay and Jenna here. I think if Jordan and Sarah win next week, they're going after Wes and Teresa.
I don't know. I think it all depends who's in the dome, though. If Johnny and Avery were in the dome, like they were, Jordan and Sarah would have absolutely thrown in Jay and Jenna. Like, depending on who has relationships with whom, you'll get put in the dome if you're a weak team at this point. Like, I don't think, unfortunately, the challenge focuses enough on keeping the weak links at this point. Like, obviously, there's a certain amount of it, but sometimes these, like, strong people want to go in with each other.
I don't know, because we've seen Jordan and Sarah have the conversations about wanting to keep some people to the end. So I think they would be good. I think their ideal final would be going with, now it's not possible, but Johnny and Avery and then Jay and Jenna. I think that's who they saw them going against.
Yeah, but that's also because of their alliance. Like, the ideal thing to do would be Zach and Johnny and Jay and Jenna and not have Avery and Riley there because that's they're better than Zach and Johnny, definitely than Zach and definitely than Johnny. But no, I don't know. I think we also saw them cockily being like, it doesn't matter who we go up against. And Jordan wants to be against Bananas in the final. And, you know, so who knows? But I just thought, depending on the relationship between Leroy and Naya and Jay and Jenna, because it seemed as though that they were tight. I didn't know that, except when Leroy was like, oh, they win, we're safe.
I don't know. It's so tough to tell because we didn't really get to see any type of interaction between those two, really at all, those two teams. And I think they were just thinking that they would be safe because they just assumed that they would just throwing Jordan and Sarah to split up the Jordan and Johnny pair.
So right, but that must have been, I agree with you, but that must have been some sort of pre-existing conversation. Like, Leroy was shocked. Like, he got called over and didn't even bring Naya because thought it was just going to be like, all right, we're cool. So I feel like it must have been a vibe in the house, a conversation in the house that those are the two that need to be broken up. Even if there's an alliance, like, they must have had a conversation about it.
Yeah, I think that was more the conversation. Not that, oh, Jay and Jenna are with us, we're safe. I think it's just more of any opportunity we have to split up the Jordan and Johnny combo, we have to take.
So Leroy and Naya's argument is like, they will slit your throat the first chance they get. And I totally agree. I think if we're thinking, like, I'm thinking they sacrificed an actual ally or someone who could be an actual ally for someone that will slit their throat the first chance they get. And now they have no allies.
Yeah. And it's just, you know, I think the only way they would vote in Jay and Jenna is if it was benefiting Johnny and Avery. I don't think in their ideal world they'd send in Jay and Jenna at all because they view them as such a goat that they could bring to the end and there's no chance they're beating them. I just think they handled this horribly, Jay and Jenna, with the way they played it out. I think they could have easily manipulated a different way to vote in Leroy and Naya and it just not blowing up in their face as much as it did.
I mean, what you're saying, like, you know, I agree with it. Makes logical sense to me, but I think they still could have sent in Jordan and Sarah and they wouldn't have come back. Like, if anything, Leroy may be the only stupid, not stupid, but the only one vengeful enough Like Jordan and Sarah like expected to go in, and that doesn't make you as mad if you expect to go in. If right. you blindside someone like that, then they get pissed at you and build a target on your back. I think it would have been, they would have had Leroy and Naya and probably still Sarah and Jordan based on what you're saying, if they put Sarah and Jordan into the film.
Yeah, I think if they vote in Jordan and Sarah, they have no one going after them. Now they have at least Leroy and I going after them, and maybe even still Jordan and Sarah, but I don't think so. But now they definitely have one person clearly going after them.
So we also see like a bit of John A and Jay like hooking up on the balcony, getting Evan lit for the one. So is John A only hooking up with Jay right now to stay safe?
I think she's only hooking up with him because she's just so bored. I think that has to be it. And just like so pissed at Zach and just wants someone to be like nice to her. And I think she's getting that from Jay, and that's it.
Because, yeah, we get the like BS like, oh, Jay knows what to say. Jay's like really cool. Like, no, you don't think Jay's cool. You're not going to be dating after this. Like,
right. And I love the Jay saying the line of I can't throw in Zach and Janae because Janae is really hot. But you can't throw in Zach and Janae because Jenna would not allow it and Zach would destroy you.
And what do you think about Jay? Like, I can't send Wes and Teresa. Like, I think Wes has like really made a smart move here, like aligning with the rookies and gotten really lucky. Like, it's only smart because of the way it played out. But like, they're not even up for discussion. They are probably Jay and Jenna's biggest threat. I mean, everyone is Jay and Jenna's biggest threat. They're a huge threat, and he doesn't even think about it.
This has been one of Wes's best brainwashing seasons over the rookies, that he has them really so strongly wrapped around their finger.
It's amazing. He's protected them because he's had enough opportunities to be in charge and not put Jay and Jenna in, that like he's protected them.
Yeah.
But this is so rookie of Jay. So rookie the way he thinks about it. Like, I can't send Jordan and Sarah. I can't send Wes and Teresa. And I can't send the girl I'm hooking up with. Like, so I have to send Leroy and Naya. Like, the thing is then when he talks to Leroy and I, he's like, oh, I can't just like call over Jordan and Sarah and tell them I changed my mind. You don't have to say anything to them. You can show up at the power couple meeting and say, I'm putting them in.
Yeah. This is just true rookiness. He doesn't really understand how this game can be played, that he's trying to keep friendships, but not really. And doesn't really know that people are going to screw you over and he has to do it himself.
So, hooking up is the name of the elimination round.
Yes. The one thing I want to say before we get to elimination is I loved just seeing how angry Leroy was for being thrown in. I really love that fire that I don't think I've ever seen from Leroy. He's always so lackadaisical. He's like, oh, I'm going to do my best, but if whatever happens, happens. He was legitimately pissed. And I thought, like, I loved him threatening him, like, you know, in real life, you're going to have to deal with this. Like, that's awesome. I wish I could see a scenario like Leroy and Jay out in New York and they stumble upon each other at the same bar and Leroy just gives them like a death glare. I would love to see that type of thing.
I feel like we've seen Leroy get fired up before. I feel like he flips a switch and he's like the Hulk. I can't think of an episode.
The only time I've ever seen him get mad is the one time on Adam in his real world season. But on the challenge, I don't remember him ever getting upset.
If looks could kill, Jay and Jenna would both be dead on the floor. Yes. Both at when they announced that they were sending them in and when they told them they were sending them in. His face was just, I thought the veins in his neck were just going to explode at the sides and he was going to survive it and still eat the kid alive.
It was great. I love Leroy and I saying, oh, if we come back, we're going to be just like hovering over their beds, giving them death looks the entire time. That was very funny.
No, that's true. So taking the fire in, this, I thought the editing was a little bit better because both teams were saying like, we have heart, we could do it. We got it. You got it. Like, I didn't think it was as like there one team is fighting and one team is like, we could do this. And then obviously the team that's fighting is going to win.
Right. It was pretty even, I thought, going in. Both the edit and my expectations.
So I watched this, like I said, this morning super late, and I knew that Brian had done an interview with Johnny, and I jokingly texted him like, I hope that's not a spoiler for who goes home. And then, so I had that in the back of my mind, but I also just thought like he likes Johnny and would want to speak to him, and you liked whatever, I'm talking to listeners now. Right. And then I'm fast forwarding through the commercials and they show Leroy and Naya sitting and say, like, go to MTV.com to watch, like, Battle of the Exiled or something like that. And it was quick. And I was like, did they really just show an advertisement for Battle of the Exiled and show Leroy and Naya in it? So I was overspoiled to the point where I wasn't spoiled, because I was like, is it that Johnny gets out or Leroy and Naya are in exile? I was spoiled both ways.
So that means you're clean.
So yeah, Leroy hooks Johnny first. Were you surprised by that or no?
I don't think so. I mean, I thought Leroy had the advantage in this one. I thought the height thing was pretty a big advantage, because it seemed like the hooks were not like on an even playing field. They seemed like they're pretty high up, that some, the person taller would have the advantage to be able to reach up and have more leverage. So, I mean, I thought it was a pretty good battle. It seemed pretty even. It seemed like Johnny was pretty close a couple times, so...
The thing is, with the, I was trying to think, like, what's the advantage? Is it the height to grab the hooks, or is it small? Because then you're tucked on the inside, and that's how you hook them. I mean, you have the reach to hook around, but there were hooks on their lower sides. There were hooks in the front. So I was thinking there is, like, kind of both advantages. If you're big, like, you can't protect yourself as well. And if you're small, you're quick. Like, Avery's saying, I'm quicker than her.
Right.
And so, I mean, ultimately, I think, like, the bigger people won out, but... I did think that there were advantages both ways, potentially.
Yeah, I think if they played this type of elimination out like 10 times, I think Leroy probably wins it probably 6 out of 10, maybe 7 out of 10. But I don't, like, Johnny definitely stood his own ground.
I think also Leroy had more fire. Like, if it comes down to who wants it most, like, Leroy wanted it more than Johnny the other day. Like,
yeah, that's fair.
And that's not to say Johnny didn't want it at all, but, like, Leroy was like, I want to come back and bash his face. Yeah. And that helps. I mean, that certainly helps to be fired up.
Yeah. And then the women had a marathon long battle lasting at least 90 minutes based on the timestamp.
Yeah. And what did you think of Leroy's motivation?
I thought it was amazing that it seemed like he was talking the entire time. I thought that was very impressive.
I think Leroy, if he had to go into a third round, might have tired himself, was not even considering
it was that hysterical. He would have to rest. I love the one line. He's like, don't let that bitch grab a ring. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to call her a bitch.
And to hear. Or Naya.
What?
Oh, did I drop out?
Yeah, you might miss that.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I thought his motivation was great. If I were Naya, I would have wanted to hear exactly what he was saying. Like, get angry, like, get out. You got this. Avery, you don't have it. But she seemed, like, put off by it.
Yeah, it seemed like he was bringing pretty good motivational, not, like, anger, but pretty good. Yeah, you know, you got to do this. You can do this. You can speed her. But, yeah, I thought Leroy was doing very well.
And then, like, after all that, Leroy and Naya send Johnny and Avery home, and I'm still confused by Johnny and Avery's relationship, the way they end everything, but I'm at the point where I just don't care anymore.
Yeah, it seems like they're just ready to go about their different paths. The Johnny and Avery experiment is over.
It's also like he's being supportive to her in person, like, good job, Ave, and then he is, like, bad-mouthing her again. Right. So I'm just kind of like, I don't understand, but I'm tired of trying. If you had a whole season and you couldn't get your story told, then I'm over it.
And they definitely had their time. That's definitely not a problem with those two.
And then the final part of this episode is Leroy is then bad-mouthing Naya.
The one thing I'll say about that is when I... spoke to Johnny, what he said was during that whole, like, 90 minute marathon, there was a lot of times when they were, Avery and I were kind of just, like, standing off on their own, kind of taking a lot of breaks, and apparently production had to step in and tell them to get going, like, you have to keep going, otherwise they said apparently they would have sent the guys back in if they kept this going even longer. So maybe the way they edited it made it seem like the battle was even, like, more fierce, but apparently it wasn't as strong back and forth between Avery and I.
You know, I mean, I think it even, there were times where they were like, obviously that's very interesting, not taking breaks, but there were definitely times where they weren't going at each other and Leroy was like screaming. But at the end of the day, if you get the job done, if you just have to be better than your opponent. Like, if Teresa was in there, maybe Naya would have worked harder, but you just, at the end of the day, have to be better than the person you're facing.
But yeah, and about those comments, it's just like this whole, like, the macho thing, it's like rubbing off on everyone. It just seems like the snowball is going and going and going, and everyone's picking it up, and they all feel like they have to say these types of things to, like, fit in almost.
Well, it's almost like, at what point are you allowed to be mad at your partner, and what time are you a macho pig? So, like, Leroy, I think, was, like, frustrated, maybe based on what you're saying, like, it took that long or she wasn't giving enough. Like, same with Jordan on the mountain with Sarah, like, show me you got something in you, like, show me something. Like, I don't think any of that was problematic. I think that, like, in the umbrella of this season, it becomes problematic. Like, I don't think if any of the other stuff had happened, we would have been saying, like, Leroy is so macho and sexist.
Yeah. And it's just really just the format, I think, of this, the battle of just the exes format is just, it's so tricky pairing a man and a woman together that have a lot of, at least some of them have a lot of animosity towards each other. And, you know, you get them fired up, you put alcohol in them, and they're going to start saying some, like, stupid things. And I just don't know if this whole exes format is really good for television to see. Or maybe it's good for television, but, like, it creates a lot of awkward situations.
No, I agree. And Mia Pia had asked a question like that that we had already talked about, but I'm laughing because in her question she was like, is Leroy getting greedy? Like, hey, I'm glad we won, but next time can we win in an hour? We can't win in an hour and a half. We have to win in 20 minutes.
So he wants it all. He wants it all.
So we have some general questions from the listeners.
Yes.
Brandon Lancey wants to know, can you please explain these contradictions? Jenna won the trivia contest and is going to law school, but thinks there's a president of Wyoming and doesn't know where Detroit is. Thanks.
I really don't know what to make of Jenna. I mean, I think Sarah's saying it's not that seven bits like an act. I don't think that's true. I think she is not that smart, but I don't know what to make of how Jenna won the trivia.
I mean, I like how Sarah was like, maybe this is an act. I mean, we can get into like social conditioning to downplay your intelligence as a woman, but we won't. And just say, and Jenna, I don't think that's, is Jenna.
I mean, look, if Jenna's downplaying it, and you know what? Someone put her in a movie, because then she's a great actor. Because I don't know how you can pretend to think there's presidents of states and you don't know where Detroit is and all this stuff. So I don't know.
Well, I mean, there's this whole thing where, like, some women are like, guys will like me if I play dumb, and it's all subconscious and yada, yada, yada. Hope for the best for Jenna.
A couple of things that you have to show. They did a little clip on Jay and Jenna's little bit of past, since Jay was talking about some of the weird things that Jenna does. I love, there's one thing that Jenna calls airports plane stations, and she spells cheese with an A. So that so
where's the A?
I don't think it's an
silent? Is it a silent A or is it EAS?
I think it's EA instead of EESE.
All right. So Krista Darr wants to know, Brian so badly wanted Jenna to be around for the trivia challenge. Are you disappointed or just amazed by the outcome?
Shocked. Pure shocked.
I'm disappointed in general. I thought it could have been funnier.
I mean, this the trivia is always a fun challenge, but yeah, it's kind of sucked that they were like too good for it. Like, they weren't as many stupid moments. That was disappointing.
Alex Panamaran wants to know, what was more shocking, Jay and Jenna winning the challenge or Jay and Jenna not breaking up Zach Jordan and Johnny Alliance when they had the chance?
Jay and Jenna winning the challenge. That's definitely more stunning.
I think it's shocking that, like, you know, had the deal never happened, fine. But when Jordan tells you, I would have put you in, and you don't put them in, that's, you know, okay. Good for Sarah, helping him out.
I'm not going to be surprised by rookies doing something dumb and being manipulated by someone like Sarah. That I won't be surprised about. But Jenna being able to get more questions right than Sarah, yes, I will be stunned by.
So Brandon Lancey wants to know, do you think there's a chance that Zach will either A, apologize for the way he has spoken about / treated women on the show at the reunion, or B, blame MTV for giving him a terrible edit and refuse to appear on the challenge in future seasons? I think he can blame MTV without refusing to appear. So let's just say blame MTV or apologize.
Is it a cop-out to say I think he'll probably do both? I think he'll say, you know, they really picked and chose some of my worst moments, but what I said was pretty bad and I apologize.
I think Zach's more likely to make jokes about it and say, like, look, I'm a macho gorilla. Ha ha ha. Like, look at how I look. Like, of course, I'm a girl. Look at my hair. Like, I think he'll make jokes just like we were all anticipating last season, his reaction to himself on the mountain, and he just joked about it and shrugged it off. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going to blame MTV just because he hasn't tweeted since December. Like, I think he's kind of in hiatus. So I think it's likely he'll either shock me and apologize, or he'll just joke it off.
I think there was a time when he could have joked it off, but it's just becoming so prominent that I don't think they're going to let him get off the hook like that. Especially because I think the woman who's doing the after show is just hosting a reunion, and I don't think she's going to take just him joking it off. I think she's going to push it. So I think he's going to have to apologize.
No,
at least
I
fake
hope
an
not.
Apology.
I hope not, but it's like, for anyone who watched Are You the One, it's like when Alex and Jasmine were up there and, like, Alex just avoided the questions until there was no more time at the reunion.
Right.
But I mean, or they're going to call like Jordan and Zach up together and try to blame Jordan for sexism also, which would be a huge mistake. I mean, yes, Jordan and Johnny are implicated in this. Johnny kind of got off the hook, but I think it needs to be focused on Zach, and maybe they won't do that.
Agreed.
Okay. Jacob Brabant wants to know, were y'all surprised? I can't believe he just made me say y'all. Were y'all surprised that Naya didn't gas out like she did in her long elimination last year against Car Maria?
I mean, maybe she did partially gas out, but it's maybe Avery gassed out more than Cara did. But it's amazing that Naya's been in these marathon long eliminations.
Well, it's also, I mean, what you said, then they had time to recover where they weren't playing, so it wasn't necessarily 90 minutes of physical contact.
Right.
But Philippe Chamon wants, there's no reason I needed to pronounce it like that. There's no accents or anything. Sorry. Said, I heard Naya's harness was not on right and was digging into her shoulder and it was just too painful. But
yeah, I think that's true. I think that's true.
But can't you say, like, my harness is too tight? Like, time out? You know what I mean? Like, can't you complain to production when it goes on? Or
I know there was definitely a problem with it because I saw the next time they did that elimination, they changed it up a little bit to make it not as hard. Because I think Kara said, like, her shoulder was basically messed up for months afterwards. So
oh,
I think
I thought they were talking about this elimination. But
oh, no, I was talking about the last one. Oh, she said, were they saying Naya saying this challenge, her harness was not on right?
Now that you say it, it makes more sense that it was the last challenge. In fairness, if both of them are dealing with it, then it's both fair. Like, I thought they meant just Naya's was too tight and Avery was fine.
Oh, okay. Maybe. I don't know.
No, you're right. You're 100% right.
All right. I'll
take it. Surya Murdy wants to know, now that we are down to the wire, can you predict who each team will send in if they are a power couple next week? I predict that Leroy and Naya will be sent in by every team, while Leroy and Naya would send in Wes and Teresa to remove a power team.
Interesting. So everyone was sending Leroy. And what was the last part?
And this person thinks that Leroy and Naya would send in Wes and Teresa.
I think Wes and Teresa may take a stab at Jordan and Sarah, depending upon who's in the elimination. I think they would try to take the shot at them.
I think that you can't. If Jay and Jenna end up in the dome next week.
If Jay and Jenna are in the dome, then you just got to just throw in Leroy and Naya and just keep whoever is against you. But if Leroy and Naya are in the dome, I think you take a shot at Jordan and Sarah.
I don't know. If Leroy, we still don't have clarity on who's aligned with who. Because apparently Sarah and Jordan, now their strongest allies, Wes and Teresa, ? Or Jay and Jenna, ? But I think if Jay and Jenna end up, let's just go through it. If Jay and Jenna end up in the dome, wouldn't someone want to throw in Zach and Jenna? Like, you don't. Leroy and I would definitely beat them, and you see how annoyed Leroy gets, or would he just be expecting it at this point?
You would just, if Jay and Jen are in the dome and whoever's the power couple, you have to just throw in a team that you think is already mad at you.
Who's Leroy mad at, though? Like, do we know that Leroy and Naya are mad at Wes and Teresa? Like, we know that they don't have a great relationship, but the way that Wes is pretty savvy, and maybe Wes would, like, approach Leroy with no allies, and if Wes and Teresa are a power couple, it wouldn't surprise me if Wes, like, turned, you know, rolled the dice and didn't throw in Leroy and Naya to try to, like, make headway with them. Or we don't know who's coming, when people are coming back. I don't know. This is a tough one.
It's very murky.
You're probably right.
It's very murky.
Do you think that Leroy and Naya would go for Wes and Teresa first? Who do you think they would throw in?
I think they will go after Jay and Jenna.
Really? You don't think they're smart enough to think I want them in the elimination?
It didn't seem that way. I feel like if they were thinking that, they would have said that this time. I think if they win, I mean, I don't know, maybe Naya and or Leroy would talk each other down and make the smarter move.
I don't think Naya was that pissed, and I don't think, like, as pissed as Leroy. And I think Leroy is, well, I watched the preview for next episode, and it seems like Leroy may be leaning towards just trying to hook up with Jonna to get back at Jay.
I love that happens. That'd be really funny.
He was like, I'm gonna steal your little girlfriend.
That's hysterical. Oh my god, I love Leroy.
So my inclination was like, maybe he's gonna take it out on him just in real life and not screw himself in the game. Like, I don't think Leroy, time heals all, and even like week to week you can get less mad, and I just don't know that Leroy is going to be so stupid to throw in Jay and Jenna against, like, Wes and Teresa and not throw in Sarah and Jordan.
Right.
because Sarah and Jordan are the reason that Leroy and Nia went in also.
I mean, I don't know. Can you really be mad at someone from talking themselves out of elimination?
No, but they're not with you. I mean, they're not with anyone, so you might as well take your heavy hitters out.
The lines are very murky. It's very usually with Bananas, like when Bananas and Wes were there, it seemed like there was a clear, like, all right, whoever's with Bananas and now whoever's with Wes. But now with Bananas gone, it's like everyone's kind of just floating around. There's no lines.
That's what all the cast members have said, is like once Bananas and Nani, I'm not saying Bananas, like if Wes had left, it probably would have been the same. But like once Bananas and Nani left, like everyone was just cool with each other. It's still like if I went and made a chart, like there would be a dotted line between Zach and Wes. Like unclear because he's still against Wes, but he didn't go for Wes.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
And then there's a solid line between John A and Zach and Jay and Jenna. And then there's like an X between Leroy and Aya and Jay and Jenna.
It seems like the only people that have a really good handle on who is aligned with is Jay and Jenna. Like I know they're aligned with Wes and Teresa, and I know they're aligned with Zach and John A.
Well,
and everyone else, I feel like I don't really know.
They think they're aligned with Jordan and Sarah, but Jordan and Sarah, we made like a solid line between Wes and Teresa, and we don't know. That's never needed to be tested.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
we shall see.
That's the best we could do for you.
It's one of the more confusing alliance driven seasons we've seen,
which is making it interesting. At least if the social aspect isn't interesting, the game is way more interesting than it's even been Absolutely. In the past. Keith Davis, are you impressed with the female competition this season? Do you feel that girls like Sarah, Teresa, Nia, Nani, and Avery are ready to take on the elite girls, Emily, Laura, and Carmaria, etc.?
I think their physical performances have been pretty decent. Their social and mental games have been pretty frustrating outside of Sarah, really. I mean, someone like Laurel, Emily, and even Cara, I think, are in their own separate category compared to some of these other people.
Yeah, I mean, it's all relative. Like we said in the beginning that there are no powerhouse girls this season, so they're all doing well against each other on the same mediocre playing field. So, like, they all look good against each other because they're all evenly matched.
Right. I mean, Avery looked pretty good, but, like, yeah, if you throw her up against Laurel in elimination, it would be over in 2 seconds.
Exactly. So, no, the answer is no. These girls are not ready to go up against Cara and Laurel and Emily. And the other thing is, like, a lot of them have competed against the elite girls before, and we have not brought up their name as elite girls. Like, Nani was talked about last season as, like, as a competitor, but not, like, a threat to Laura. I mean, we were considering it, but not... Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So like everyone else though, Teresa too, you know, whatever, she got shafted last season. But as far as like Nia, like she's been on these shows before and we've never needed to talk about her.
Right.
Sarah, exactly. Like you can blame her partner, but Sarah can be grating. Like I can understand Jordan getting angry with her. I don't understand to the extent, but Sarah's not a beast. She can swim and she's smart, but she's not Laurel.
No, she's not Laurel. She's not Emily.
This is a hilarious question. Alex Panamaran asks, will Leroy regret his feud with Jay when they get partnered up on a future rival?
If they are friends together, yes, he will deeply, deeply regret it.
I don't know if Leroy can make finals with Mike. He can do anything.
I feel like I'd rather be with Mike.
Mike and Leroy, I guess Mike was in Vegas with Leroy like for a day and Leroy posted a picture and it was hilarious because Mike is like this total nerd doofus, like with his t-shirt tucked into his shorts and his pants and is belted like really high up. And like Mike has just become like a full on adult. And then Leroy's like partying with my boy Mike.
There is no one who seems so far out of place of like the challenge universe than Mike. He's like if you had like lined people up in a row instead of pick out someone who was on the challenge, no one would get Mike.
It's a very similar feeling as when like Beauty and the Geek is on. When it's like these like nerds get dropped into like with all these beauties and they're like, you know, awkwardly dancing and I'm doing an awkward dance right now, but no one can see me. Okay, so Andrew Kirk, has Avery done enough on her first challenge to be put into the pool of regulars they call?
I would like to see Avery on again. I don't know if she's a question. I don't know if she's like really a regular yet. I want to see her do another challenge with a different storyline. That would be a good test to see how she does.
I know you want to see Avery again, but do you want to see her on a challenge?
Yes. And I hope she's single to see what her going crazy means.
Yeah, no, literally my reaction to this question was if Avery was single, she would be perfect casting. But I really think they need to shy away from people in serious, steady relationships. So like, no, I hope she's not a regular. I think given the right environment, of, it depends on who they can get back. But she's a good mix of like not a beast, but not a slouch. And if she was single, then she would be entertaining. So not that a girl needs to hook up with people to be entertaining, but she's
even for the guys, you need like the possibility of hooking up.
Edward Morris, Brian, do we have to eat crow now that Johnny and Avery were eliminated and Wes and Teresa are still there? And I'll add at the hands of Leroy and Naya.
I don't know. I'll leave that to you. Do you think I need to eat crow?
No, I'll leave that to you.
You're the one who's been on me for that comment, so I'll leave that to you.
Edward Morris said, Brian, you have to answer for
me. I don't think I need to eat crow. I don't. Because I stand by what I said. That they would be a tough scene to face in elimination.
No, that's not what you said. Okay, so Andrew Styles asked me, Allie, in your opinion, did Avery and Riley live up to the kneecap sucking settled the debate? And I wrote down a response to this, which I don't do, but I wrote down a response to this. My whole stance in this was over whether or not Avery and Riley would be a team that the big bosses would want to wait to send in against the other big bosses. That's what prompted this debate. I feel that that was settled episode 2 when Banana said that he didn't consider them a threat that he would want to send Wes and Teresa in against. I also maintained that we hadn't seen anything close to enough to substantiate Brian's claims, so it was all personal. Now that we've seen more from them, they're not a bad team, but they are not a top-tier team right now. Size matters, but they have heart.
I love that you have a prepared speech, so well done.
No, I wrote the 10. I didn't, like, review it. That was just my natural reaction, and I probably would have been able to say it just like that. But the whole first part of this debate was Rob asking, like, it was during our Rob conversation, and that's when I texted you, like, you really think Avery, and you just kind of set it off.
I should have screenshotted that text, because that was, like, the powder keg incident, like a world war.
And I said that I think Leroy and Naya, even Leroy and Naya, I said it, and I'll go back when I listen to it for our reunion recap, but I'm so happy that I said that, because I really had nothing to go on for that either. But anyway, when I asked you about it again, you were like, yes, I definitely think that. Anyway, Bananas said himself episode 2. The debate was done then. But you continued
to say. I'll say about this. I said that there would be a team that someone would wait to throw someone in against.
You didn't say someone. The question was
a powerhouse team. Would you consider Jordan and Sarah a powerhouse team? Yes.
They were going to throw them in not because of who would win, but to hope that one of them
goes to break up the alliance. Because they were both strong teams.
Because they were aligned together. Every time that Johnny and Avery got sent in together, it was because Johnny has too many connections.
But if Johnny and Avery, Johnny's
a physical threat. No one said that.
But if Johnny and Avery weren't a good team, no one would care that they're aligned. No one's saying, oh, we need to split up the Wes and Jay combo.
No, because they're not as strongly aligned. You heard Jordan on the... No, they're not as strongly aligned, not as strong. Jordan and Sarah, when they were up there, they said, I have to look out for Riley. I'm going to ask him who he wants to send in. That's why an alliance is dangerous, because Jordan would rather make a stupid decision to help Riley and take a better team. I will say that Jay and Jenna are worse than Riley and Avery, and would rather take a better team with them to the final because of their alliance. That's a dangerous player. Someone with a strong social game who their friends would rather hurt themselves to help is a dangerous thing. And that's why Wes sent in Johnny and Avery, and that's why Jordan and Sarah were going to get thrown in, because they wanted to break up the strength alliance. The strong alliance. But what I'm saying is I just kept saying I need to see more. Again, in our first episode, I said, like, I'm excited to see them. We don't know much about Avery, but who knows? Like, they could be, we both put them in like a top five scenario. Mm-hmm. But top five, I said, baby. I want to see more from them before I say what kind of team they are. And I said, up until this point, can you say that you still think that? And you were like, yes, yes. And I was like, based on what? No performances in the challenge. They went home not because they were sent in, but because they lost. Like, all these things considered, they're a good team. After seeing the season, they're a good team. They work together well in the dome. You know, Johnny's a hustler. Avery is a fighter. But they are not a top-tier team.
Okay.
I don't think... Do you really think next season someone's going to be like, oh, Johnny and Avery are in the dome, perfect time to send in Bananas?
Not I think if Johnny was in, they'd be like, oh, this is a good time to get rid of a strong team, a strong person.
Based on what?
I think people view Johnny as a strong player.
I think he's social. I think he's strong, but I don't think he's in the conversation with Wes, Bananas, and Leroy at this point in this season.
Okay, sure. Agree to disagree.
Don't just say no, but disagree.
Agree to disagree. I disagree. I think Johnny's viewed as one of the. I think very people were very impressed with his performance against Leroy, even though he lost. I think they had a great battle. I think each of them easily could have won either. I think it was a very close battle. I think people view Johnny as a very strong competitor.
I just don't think he has enough size to be like scary, which honestly works for him because he has the social relationships to avoid the dome in the right gameplay. Like if Bananas didn't go out and, you know, that whole West didn't get a power trip and all of that stuff. But I just think, so I think he could have had a very different game and there's a different road where Johnny and Avery make the final. But I just think based on what everyone on the cast has said and the reasons for putting him in and what they talk about them, like I just didn't think that they viewed them as a threat. So I think you should put on a lobster bib, sharpen up your knife and fork, and start eating some crow.
So I'll get it delivered for tonight.
Yeah, just, you know what, have a factual basis next time when I
555 crow.
Okay, so that's the answer for that. Okay,
that's the answer.
No, I just meant like we both responded. Okay. I'm looking at the question list. Okay, Keith Davis, let's say Jordan and Sarah went in. How could Jordan actually fare up to Johnny with the one hand? This could have actually been a one shot to get Jordan and Sarah out of the game.
I think he could have done. I mean, it seemed like each of the hooks had a little like a thing that you could wrap his other hand through and he can use his good hand to manipulate. And I think there was a way to do it. I mean, I don't know how I would do it because I've only had two hands, so I don't know, but
knock on wood.
as of now, but I mean, Jordan's obviously very capable of doing many things that you would not think possible of someone with only really one hand. So I would not put it past him to be able to do this.
I also think like you really only need, I mean, obviously two hands is an advantage, but most of them are only holding the rope with one hand. And right. Then
it seems like his other hand could just be used to like hold, yeah, the grab on the Johnny or whatever.
It would have been a disadvantage for sure, but it wouldn't have been impossible, especially not because it's Jordan.
I mean, to be fair, there's very few challenges where having two hands is not a big advantage over having someone with one hand. So,
Zachary's Arnett Klein. Did Riley and Avery have a shot against anyone? I think the only team they could have beaten was Zach and John A, and only if Avery beat John A twice. And they're not counting Jay and Jenna here because they were the power couple.
Okay.
I think I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I think Johnny could have done. I mean, the thing about him against Zach is like what you said about the height versus the compact quickness. Like, obviously, Zach has a huge size advantage on him, but it may be harder for him to hook Johnny because he's a smaller guy. He's able to move, and there's more area for Johnny to reach to hook on to Zach. So, I mean, I think Zach would be the favorite, but I don't think there's no reason to think that Johnny couldn't win.
I think you're talking like the one where who went up against, was it Zach in the one where you like run around the wall?
No, because that's different. This is not just...
No, but I'm saying they're like, oh, you could be quick. Oh, it's Kahado. Like, you could be quick and that could be good. At the end of the day, if it was Zach, I'm sorry, Zach could just hold Johnny down, reach up for the rope, and then hook him. And I agree with you about like the quickness and whatever, but in terms of surface area, like you all have the same number of hooks. So surface area, if anything, his hook is just up higher. Like I just, you know, it's not like you could just, it's Velcro and you could get it anywhere on his body. Right, you just have to touch him. Like you still only have like the three or four hooks. I think you're being generous to Johnny. I mean, look, at any given day, anyone can beat anyone, right? Like that's what happened with the trivia challenge.
It would not be easy, obviously.
But talk about the other, him against Wes and Teresa. Like, could Johnny and Riley have beat, Johnny and Avery had beaten anyone except for Jay and Jenna?
Could they be? I think they could have possibly beaten Wes and Teresa. I don't see why. I mean, I think Wes and Teresa, I would pick Wes and Teresa to beat them, but to say they didn't stand a chance, I disagree.
Again, at any given time, anyone can beat anyone, but I think that if Avery was against Teresa, she would have had a way more, like, I think it would have gone a lot faster than Nia against Avery.
Yeah.
And nothing against Avery. I just think that Teresa is a more experienced competitor. She's a stronger competitor than Nia and Avery, in my opinion, up until now. Yeah, I actually didn't think about it until then, but I do think that Johnny and Avery were kind of screwed either way. And Jenny said that. Johnny was like, this is the best team. This is another caliber of team than we faced. And it's true. I mean, they're no Thomas and Haley, and they're not Brittany and Adam.
Right. I mean, going with this group of people left, I think it would have been fair to say that, yeah, Johnny and Avery are the second worst team after Jay and Jenna. I mean, depending upon what the elimination is, they could do better against other teams than not.
I don't know. I'm still going to put John A and Zach below them, and just because I just think.
I think for this elimination, though, you would say Zach and Johnny have a better chance. But if it was some other type of elimination, you might say Zach, Johnny, and Avery have a much better chance. So,
I also want to. This is where I was thinking of this earlier, and I forgot to say anything. So, like, say Bananas and Nani come back and they win, right? Like, we're all thinking they're going to come back, and mm-hmm. we already discussed whether or not there'd be an asterisk on their win. And it just got me thinking, because I think about this in my spare time. Like,
for your dreams.
True. I did have a dream. I had a dream about CT that he was telling me about his acting career. So the challenge is very, very interesting, because like in something like Survivor or Big Brother, let's say, like Big Brother has a bunch of goofy challenges. And then to get to the finals, it's three goofy challenges. Like, it's all kind of the same game. And then you have to have relationships through the way. The challenges in the challenge, there's like a clear difference. Part one of the game, where it's day one to the challenge, end of the challenges. And then there's the final. And that it's almost like a very different team that's good at the final versus good at the game. Right. And like a very different team is good socially and can do the domes and the eliminations and the challenges and play that part of the game, then can win the challenge. Like Avery and Johnny may have had a very, very good chance to win the final, but would struggle to get through the domes against the rest of the competitors. And it's almost like unfair if Bananas and Johnny and Nani come back and skip that huge part of the game, because they lost. Like, they lost the game, and now they're going to come back, and they're good final competitors. And I don't know. Are you, like, understanding anything that I'm saying?
No, I fully understand what you're saying. I just... Oh, sorry. I agree. Yeah. I mean, I don't like any type of twist in a game where you can get eliminated by what the regular confines of a game is, and then you can do other stuff to get back into the game. I just don't like that. So whether it's Bananas coming back, whether it's someone else coming back, I'm not a fan of that type of scenario playing out.
I guess I just feel with this situation, like, okay, so if you get to if you come back from Redemption Island and you end up in the finals, like, you're pleading your case about how you played the game, and the jury can say, like, no, you went to Redemption Island, like, you're not going to win this or whatever. But in this, it's like, you go, and if you're just good at the final, it doesn't matter how you got there, like, you can just win. Like, there's no barrier. There's no, like, societal barrier to decide that you're going to get out. So I think, like, for me, this is, like, particularly... This is like, you lost what the challenge is, and all you have to do is be good at the final, which is totally far and away totally different than the main game.
I agree. I completely agree.
So that's, I don't know what made me think of that is like, maybe Johnny and Avery would have been better in a final, but weren't good at the game. Like, not the socially, but just in general. Like
the eliminations. Yeah.
So, sorry for that tangent. Okay. Zachary's on a climb. How have Jenna and Jay made it this far being rookies? What can future rookies learn from their game? Hook up with other teams.
Bingo.
Not that's only do I think that's really helped them, to be honest. Like, Zach was power couple once.
Yeah, but I think if Zach really is aligned with Wes, then Wes not choosing to throw in Jay and Jenna is probably connected somewhat to that, maybe.
I think they got lucky because there were enough rookies to hide behind. So, like, they weren't a huge physical threat, so they weren't, like, the instant rookies. But they also weren't, like, there were still Thomas and Haley to pick from, and they, like, they were already the one people to hide behind. Like, I think this was a good season for a rookie pair to get far. I think, like, it definitely took less skill on their part and less social, you know, maneuvering than Johnny's getting far in free agents. And... you know, I don't know, like, it's so unclear with the alliances that if Zach really needed to protect him. Like, it seemed like Wes did everything he wanted to do. Like, all the power couples did what they wanted to do and weren't like, this is the first time we hear, like, I can't throw in them because we're hooking up. I mean, we heard it when Zach and Jenna were a power couple, but, like, not from the other people. Like, oh, I got to protect Zach's girl.
Mm-hmm. I think also what helped them is that it was Bananas that went home and not Wes. I think if... really just they align themselves with the superpower that prevailed, and that helps.
Yeah, I mean, which wasn't even their choice. Like, Bananas was not approaching.
That's true.
The Band of Misfits. Okay. Yeah. So, Alex Panamoran, is this one of the best seasons for elimination challenges with the massive variety of games?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, obviously, outside of the chocolate chip eating contest, yeah, this has been very good. I've not really been upset with any other elimination. I thought this was it's a nice mix of size or strength or physical or the other stuff. So I think it's been pretty good.
We've also had, like, from the get-go, like, interesting teams in the eliminations, minus the, like, are you the one, but we've had, like, you know, because the power in the house is so confusing, like, every team matters in the final, yeah, in the elimination. But I think overall I would say it's average, because you add all the good ones and you add in the worst one and you average it out, and so it's average.
That's how much the chocolate chip eating contest is bringing it down.
Oh my god, it's terrible. I mean, that was the worst. That was my worst in history, I think.
Yeah, that was really bad.
That's all I got for you.
That's all you got. So, Exile. They only did the first one. I haven't seen the second one come up yet. But Brandon and Adam lost to Bananas and Nani. The contest was each person is holding on to a ring in, like, the center of a circle, and you have to rip it out from the other person's hands. Bananas and Adam had a pretty good battle. Bananas won, and then Nani beat Brittany literally in, like, 2 seconds. In literally 2 seconds. Like, TJ blew the horn, Nani ripped it out of Brittany's hands, TJ blew the horn. So.
And without watching, because I didn't get to it this week, without watching, what snide remark did Adam have to say about this?
I don't think, from my recollection of watching it at 12:30 on Tuesday night, being delirious, I don't remember any snide remarks from Adam. He was pretty calm.
Maybe they just edited it out because they didn't have time in the 7 minutes.
Yeah. I think Bananas may have hurt himself a little bit. I remember them doing a little shot of cutting to his ribs, and then, like, yeah, like a red mark. He's like, "Oh, this hurts." So,
We'll see
how that plays out with their banana battle with Johnny and Avery.
So, news item. News. That was my rumor has it, no Real World reunion.
Yeah. Interesting. And the Challenge reunion is being filmed today, which is Saturday.
Any more information on the Real World reunion? All I saw is that Violetta tweeted, like, if you keep having questions about it, tweet at MTV. And yeah,
that's all I've seen. I've just seen people start posting on Twitter saying, if you support having a Real World reunion, tweet it to, you know, Real World, MTV, MTV, Bina Murray. But I mean, I'm surprised it's, like, comes as, I don't remember ever a Real World season without a reunion. So,
not modern Real World, especially. Right.
Yeah. So that'll be really, if you want, like, the Real World Challenge franchise to keep going on, I think that would, them not having a reunion would not be a good omen for it moving forward.
Maybe some of them are filming another series and they don't want to say there's a spinoff. Or maybe the Challenge is shooting right now and none of the people who are on this season are on the next one.
It's weird.
All fresh meat in Real World.
I mean, I'm sure some of it has to do with them showing the Challenge one at the same time. So obviously the Challenge reunion would take precedent over the Real World, but I can't imagine them
is
not
that
being
obvious,
able
though?
I think so.
Because the Real World has the much better time slot. So I don't know why that's obvious.
I think the Challenge is the bigger franchise at this point.
I'm just going based on the time slot they gave Real World and how they, like, burned off the Challenge. I like the Challenge better, so I agree. But maybe they feel like people watch the Challenge at any time. But I mean, the ratings aren't that good.
I don't even know which one's doing better, to be perfectly honest, in terms of ratings wise.
My only speculation, unless it's just, like, we don't want to waste the money flying everyone out because it's getting canceled and the season sucked, you know, whatever.
I have enjoyed, like, the season, though.
No, fair. I just meant, like, if that's their attitude.
Yeah,
that's
what I was like, yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me because it also, like, would make sense to me that, I mean, with this kind of, what are you going to have every skeleton and every Real World person on stage together? You're gonna have them in segments. Like, the way the format of this is, like, everything was, like, little episodes. Like, the major arcs are, like, you know, Tony and listen, Morgan, what the hell is her name, Bubbles. Bubbles.
Yeah,
Tony and Bubbles' relationship, or, like,
Madison. You know,
their anger and rage, you know, like, you know what I mean? Like the main mm-hmm. storyline changes day to day with the skeletons. And like, maybe that's not something. I don't know.
It's interesting.
They all
though.
Get closure. Like it just ends with their closure. Like when the skeleton leaves. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't had an after show. I don't think the entire season, I believe. So it is. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of just being tossed aside.
Very interesting. Maybe it's because we didn't podcast about it. And they were like, oh, we're really going downhill. If not even Sickles are talking about it.
It can't even get on the RHAP radar. That means we can't do a reunion. anything else?
That's all I got.
All right. That will do it for episode 7. A hashtag for this week? About Last Trance.
Oh my God. The floor just shook.
Oh boy.
Sorry. That was weird. first of all, it's a Lash Bash. It's not a Lash Rant.
Lash Bash. I'm sorry. But
that yeah, can't be a hashtag.
Sounds
that's
like
too,
Last Bass.
That's too self-indulgent. Wow. I have to keep my ego in check so I don't turn into Zach.
Was it one of our hashtags, Brian only says things because of who he has crushes on?
That's not self-indulgent. That's mean to you.
Okay.
Thanks, Brian, was self-indulgent, but I initiated it for you. If you were let's make the hashtag, thanks, Brian, I would be like, we're done here.
All right, so I'll make it Lash Bash. So that way it's not something.
Lash Bash is coincidentally also the name of all of my birthday parties for Lash Bashes. So dual meanings. And you're all invited.
Really?
Just kidding.
Because what about, I believe there was a special invite. Are we getting to that or is that being glossed over?
Oh, I wasn't getting to that. But to anyone who'd like to hang out with me socially, I don't know why you'd subject yourself to that because I just will yell at you. This is not an act. But no, unfortunately.
It's true. She yells at you all the time.
Like, we hang out a lot.
for a couple times, you yell at all the time.
Unfortunately, what is keeping me from this podcast is also keeping me from doing anything in real life. So maybe I'll catch you on the flip side. But Brian is available for all of your romantic and friendly needs.
And the time and the place and the function.
And the intentions.
And the intention.
Let's get to it. Actually, go through me. I'll be Brian's people. You call me, I'll screen, and then I'll make the dates. I'll be Patty. I'll be the Patty Stanger for you.
I've always wanted a PR person, so that's perfect.
Well, Patty Stanger is a matchmaker, so it was more in that realm.
Well, I still
you're
want
PR,
a PR,
you have to handle yourself. It's not going to be me.
When someone calls, I'll make up like a fake voice, so I can say, this is Brian Cohen's number, and then I can transfer to me. Sound good?
You do you, man. Like, it's fine. Whatever you do on your phone is your business.
This is getting dangerous, so let's wrap this up.
Wait, one thing I wanted to talk about, because now we just, like, whatever, we have unlimited
open
time.
Open Pandora's box.
No, I did catch up on the Miss Survivor thing, but I think the poll is closed, isn't it? Or today's the last
day. I think
it
closes today, so probably when you hear this, Rob's poll will be down.
But I ended up voting for Natalie and not Kelly, which I'm shocked. I just didn't think Kelly read as well in the debates and in her interview. Whereas, like, I know she's so into rap and I know rap and I know that she's like a fan, but she made some missteps. And I just thought, like, I don't know. I think she wanted it too bad, but I love Kelly. And if she wins, I'll be very happy. I think it's everyone who's like really, really good. So.
Yeah. I don't think there'd be a bad winner amongst these six. So I think we're in pretty good shape. Our RHAP community.
Yes. Agreed.
Officially ready to wrap up or anything more?
That's all I have.
All right.
Even though I've said that three times.
Before you say no, I'm declaring it hashtag Lash Bash. That's it for episode 7.
Did I deliver or was it really a Lash Bash?
I'll say you do.
Okay.
It was good job.
You let me
effort.
Know.
Good job, good effort.
Criticize me.
Rob
Not
as
you,
well.
The people.
I love that we can all hear you crumbling up the full paper right now in the background. I love that. It's like a nice signaling as a closing of the podcast.
We didn't hear any table slamming, so.
It's true. Rob is website.com/challengeiTunes. For me, at Twitter, BusDriversRoute.
You could tweet hashtag LashBash at me at LashTweets. Lash.
And that will do it for next week. So until next time, have a good one.